Welcome to We Are The Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are The Watchers.
Welcome to We Are The Watchers, episode 75, Tom?
Yep.
Wow.
It's a big one. We didn't even make a special occasion out of it. I guess we've been busy this
week. We've been super busy.
If you've looked at our feed, you know why.
Yeah, so there's a Game of Thrones special for episode 2 of Game of Thrones, and there's also an Avengers Endgame special for if you've seen both. If you haven't seen either of those, don't listen to the podcast yet. If you have, you're fine to go through and listen. Download. Yep. Oh, just download them anyway. You don't have to
listen. Hold on to those ones. This one is safe. There's no spoiler section. No. We're not going to give away anything. We're not going to talk about Avengers. We're just going to move on.
It was an emotional time.
Hey, we've got a special guest.
Yes. Well, we had so much fun chatting with you, Raina, about Avengers Endgame. We thought we'd hold you captive, and now you're here to talk about all of the things.
Pleasure to be here. I've been looking forward to doing this for a while. Hopefully
Velcro,
it's not the last.
I put Velcro on your seat and your butt, so you've got nowhere to go.
I'm stuck.
I think Raina's going to become a bit of a rotating guest.
Mm. I can't wait.
I concur.
Oh, boy. Mm.
Shall we crack into some news?
Yes. Got any news? Because it's been a bit of a news-light week. We've been a bit focused on other things.
There's been Avengers stuff, which you don't want to talk about. There's been Game of Thrones stuff, which you didn't want to talk about. Mm. And there's been Easter, where nobody talks about anything. So I've got a non-news story in that we're going to go back in time into...
We're going to go back in time.
2014, director Richard Donner told the world that Goonies 2 was officially happening and he was going to be the director. Exciting, right?
Mm.
And then we didn't hear anything else about it.
That's right. I remember this.
And now what year is it? We're 2019 and Sean Astin's been asked, who was Mikey in the movie.
Mikey.
Because he's doing promotion for a new Netflix series called No Good Nick, which, okay.
Cool.
I'll probably... watch it. He says a reboot is probably far more likely to happen than a Goonies sequel.
I don't know. Goonies never say die.
So true. Well,
reboot,
look,
really?
As of a couple of years ago, there was no script for anything Goonies related. There was talk, I think if I've got this right, of some sort of animated version where it was going to be on some sort of streaming site. Maybe even be Netflix. I can't remember. But in this world where reboots are all the go, I can see that happening more than a Goonies sequel. And you just throw a couple of cameos in from some of the guys.
It feels safe. I think
Tommy
and I were just talking about this, where I feel like Disney is now the one with holding all the cards and can be outlandish and do crazy things. And Netflix actually has become almost like the new free-to-air television that has to play it safe. And I think with something like this and a property like this, they probably just want to play it safe, particularly if there's no script. I feel they just want to par for the course, not rock the boat.
Give people what they like and they know they like because they've seen the movie original.
The only thing that film has got going for it, and like I love Goonies, don't get me wrong, but the only reason is nostalgia.
Yeah,
and you are not making it for children today, you are making it for the parents. I don't need to see a reboot of it. I don't need to see a sequel either, if I'm completely honest. I don't, you know, it would be fun to spend time with those characters again, but they're
going
to be
held
up.
Yeah.
And it would clearly have to be a story of them refining their innocence.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you think hard about what it would be, that film is already written in your mind. There's nothing else it can be other than Hook. Remember Hook?
Mm-hmm.
It's Hook. Mm-hmm. That's what Goonies 2 would have to be. You know, adults refining their innocence that they had as a child interacting with. You know, maybe Sloth comes to them again. Hey, you guys. And like, Sloth, we can't play now. We've got bills.
And, you know, all the booby twaps are made by father and son and grandfather.
Yeah, it feels like a difficult film to make unless you do something crazy. And I don't think they're going to do something crazy with this. It's too much of a risk.
Combine it with Lost Boys.
You know, the thing about Goonies is that it still holds up. I don't know if Lost Boys necessarily. Oh, no, Lost Boys does. I've seen that probably in the past 5 years.
Come on, shirtless vampire saxophone playing in a lot of denim.
Twilight works, so I guess it could. But, yeah, if you want an 8-year-old to watch The Goonies, it's totally fine that they watch the original.
Yeah, we sat down with Shay when she was 6. She's watched Goonies.
And?
She enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's not a favourite movie, but she still plenty enjoyed it.
Hmm.
It's of its time.
It's got enough adventure.
kids don't go on adventures like that anymore.
No, they don't, do they?
No. That idea of running around the neighborhood freely without your parents being concerned about pedophiles doesn't exist.
Mm. No, the world has changed.
It really is a different world. Also, the older brother is Thanos, so...
No, I'd say leave it alone, leave it in the drawer. I'd be surprised if they dig that one back up, and if they do, it's not going to be good. That's my slice of jade.
I will put it in that same box with Gremlins 3. Sounds like a great idea, but you know in practice won't be.
Mm.
It's just us wanting and then not wanting it once we know it exists.
Yeah, you just want a small portion of it, 5 minutes.
Like an SNL skit. Just bring them all back on, we'll have a laugh, and then that'll be it.
Done. Leave it in the drawer.
The show with a car that time travels at 88, but blows up if it drops below 50. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Tom, what news have you found?
Oh, I found one that made me go, which...
I'm just practicing.
Yeah, give it a go, because I'm going to say a name, and I feel that name is going to make you go, because that tends to be what happens to most Australians when they hear the name Stephen Bradbury. Stephen Bradbury. Word on the street is they're going to make a film about Stephen Bradbury.
Biopic.
Anyone who doesn't live in Australia listening in, let me bring you up to speed quickly.
So what year was it?
Up to speed is intentionally. I think it was just after Olympics, wasn't it? It would have been around 2004, I'm going to say six.
It would have been either
2002 or 2006. Because
maybe
2000
wasn't
and
the
2004 were, I think. It wasn't 9.
No, because he had...
It was
had
post-Sydney.
Puffy up hair.
Are you saying when the actual event? 2002.
It was 2002? Right, okay, yes. So 2002, Australia had our first ever speed skater in the Winter Olympics. Now, of course, that in itself is a movie setup akin to Cool Runnings. You know, this is our Cool Runnings story of a slightly bogan guy that clearly enjoyed drinking and ciggies and stuff like that, who somehow found himself in the Olympics and was not a strong qualifier whatsoever, but managed to hang at the back of the pack most races, wait for other people to fall down and swoop through.
We do have to bear in mind that this guy made it into the final.
He made it into the final by being good enough, but he had no chance of winning. He was clearly going to be coming 8 of 8. And the race started, and sure enough he was, but he hung at the back and he waited for his moment. And everyone toppled at the last second. And Bradbury skated through and had a look of shocked concern on his face of like, wait, what now? And that's our first ever gold medal at the Winter Olympics.
He's literally the last man standing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what the movie should be called.
Oh.
All right, so I don't think...
Can I tell you what I'd call it? Frosted Glory.
Yeah, they were glorious frosted tips his hair had. Do you reckon Stephen Curry would be in this movie? He may not be Bradbury, but he's going to be there.
It sounds like the sort of thing he'd be up for.
Yeah.
Look, Stephen Bradbury, I could see the guy that played Carl... What's his name in Underbelly?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The real bogan, scummy guy that plays lovable as well. I could see him stepping into that role quite easily.
All he needs to do is learn how to skate.
I could see a fat Hemsworth following it up.
Is there anything attached? Is it the storyline of him winning? Is it what happened after?
I saw a headline just before we recorded, and that's all I went with.
I saw him in a McDonald's about a year and a half after at about 1 a.m.
How
in the
many
CBD
Happy
of Brisbane.
Meals was he smashing?
He was smashing quite a few Happy Meals. He had two girls, one under either arm.
Love it.
He looked happy.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, I've got a gold medal.
We as a nation are very into the underdog. We're also much about tall poppy. If you get too big, we cut you down. However, if you started at the bottom and lucked into some goodness, you're pretty safe from us because you're a regular battler.
You're loved. Through.
And so the name Stephen Bradbury in Australia has become synonymous with winning unexpectedly.
Mm.
You know,
it brings a smile onto people's faces because you're like, oh, that could be me, even though 100% it couldn't be. There's no way in hell that could be you because you'd have to go 3 years of actually training. But you're like, yeah, I stand a chance.
Well, the opposition leader has been nicknamed Stephen Bradbury at the moment, hasn't he?
Yes, he's known as the Bradbury. As long as he keeps his head down, he might just win.
Yeah. Look, I saw another, I don't know if you would do the, I think you'd go, Tara Reid.
Yeah.
So she was suing the producers of Sharknado because she was really mad about them using her likeness. She was asking for over $100 million from the producers. And, look, she's dropped it.
strange.
Look, shoot me down and call me Wendy, but somebody, I reckon, would have said, maybe you're not going to win that. You'll have to pay court fees. And she would have gone, oh, I think I'm right then.
Tara didn't read the fine print.
$100 million is a lot to us. I imagine that's damages or loss of income by not...
Loss of income. What's she doing?
And those were TV movies. They weren't released. There's no box office tracking.
Damages then?
It's the only high point of her career since American Pie.
She might have been arguing that this has impacted her career.
Can we just discuss the fact that she believes that her likeness is worth $100 million?
Is anybody's likeness worth $100 million?
Robert Downey Jr.
Absolutely. Yes. It's Obama. Worth more than that.
Yeah, Obama.
I reckon Robert Downey Jr. is worth more than him.
The Rock.
Oh, The Rock.
The Rock you can put on a poster and it just lets you add $50 million to your opening weekend.
Yeah.
He's franchise juice.
Very true.
All right. Got anything else?
Our friend Bronn, a.k.a. Jerome Flynn from Game of Thrones.
Who's actually a blonde bloke.
Mm.
Which explains why whenever you would see Bronn in a scene that was outside with a bit of sunlight, you'd go, oh. That dye job looks a bit...
Yeah, it's a bit ratty. Yeah. So he's landed a gig in the Dark Tower TV series.
Now, oh, wow.
I thought this Dark Tower TV series was dead and buried.
I am surprised we're talking about it.
Yeah, so I don't think it's connected to the film.
Because the film was not... It did not go well. No. I didn't watch it. I mean, I've read the book, but...
So I had seen some other casting listings. Forgot them. Uh-huh. Doesn't matter. Jerome's the main one. He's announced as playing someone called a cowboy.
Where is that going to be showing? Don't say Disney Plus.
Maybe Amazon Prime.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, one of them. It's not a Disney property.
It's interesting. You'd think they might want to stay away from that property given what happened with the film, but obviously they see something in it.
It's Stephen King.
Yeah.
He's hot, hot, hot at the moment, coming off It, Pet Sematary, all that sort of stuff. Any property that they can adapt from his. I feel confident that they're actually going to push forward and do The Stand.
Mm.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I can't even remember what it was about, but I remember reading his upcoming book that's going to be released later this year and thinking, oh, I'm going to read that and I'd be happy if that was made into a TV series. Just the quick synopsis. His stories are always, they've got that, don't they? They've got that intrigue where the world's a little bit different and you've got to find out why.
Mm.
I like that kind of story.
So good on you, Bronn. I look forward to seeing you more on screen.
The team's still tuning in for The Truman Show. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Now, it's funny you just mentioned Disney Plus, because we've been talking a lot about what's coming to Disney Plus, and there's so much coming.
So much.
But there was a few things shared this week that are not coming to Disney Plus. Stuff buried deep in the Disney archives that they'd rather we forget about and never bring up again. Have you ever seen a movie called Songs of the South?
No. I'm scared.
Do you know the song Zippity Doo?
Yeah.
So that is from...
Oh, that's super old.
Yeah, and that movie is super racist.
Mm.
Like, whoa.
Okay.
Brer rabbit down in that top
here. Oh, right, okay.
And, you know, the one human character is a kindly old black man that talks to happy birds. Mm. Disney have... You can't find this film. And occasionally it'll pop up on YouTube for a day or two until Disney copyright lawyers see it there and get it taken down quick smart. But it is a fabled thing. You know, it's difficult to see. Now, they can't wipe it from everyone's minds completely because they built Splash Mountain in all their theme parks, which is based on Songs of the South. And they use a couple of the songs, but they're very careful to stay away from the really full-on gear. So it's no surprise that that's not going to be appearing on Disney+. The one that did surprise me, considering Dumbo is in cinemas at the moment, the live-action version, they've announced that the cartoon version that will be coming will not feature the Jim Crow scene. The, I ain't never seen an elephant fly, but I seen a dragon fly. That, again, if you've not seen it as... being a bit older. I have a lot of these films I've gone back and rewatched with my daughter. Mm. And suddenly I'm like, oh, it's a bit awkward, different time. That film is really awkward.
Mm.
So I can understand why they do the live action and they don't have those crows
being caricatures. Yeah.
But yeah, that's a really big call saying that we're going to alter Dumbo for Disney Plus.
Do you think we'll annoy people? Do you think there'll be an online reaction saying it is what it is?
Who cares? Because when you think about how Americans have consumed television for years, for example, I'm just picking this out of the sky, National Lampoon's Vacation, right? Mm. That appears on television in the US and it's already heavily censored. There's a whole heap of stuff that is just not in it.
Oh, you're not going to see Beverly D'Angelo's boobs?
No, you'll never see that.
First boobs I ever saw on screen?
I think me too. Mm.
And other shows like Sex and the City that have gone off HBO and then been put on other American cable channels, those episodes like half the length. They're like 10-minute episodes because they're so heavily edited. Mm-hmm. So maybe the international audience would be a little more outraged to not see stuff in its original form, but I think the US market are very much used to it.
Mm.
I think the only people that would complain about stuff not being in there are people like me who want to see it for a historical purpose.
Yeah.
Not racist people going, I want my damn racist crow back in there.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part of Dumbo. Yeehaw. Like, no, yeah. No real person is like that. And if there are people like that, fuck them.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
We talked about dating in the recent Avengers film, which we won't talk about. But, yeah, you can see. I wonder why that if I haven't gone back and watched a lot of the Warner Brothers original cartoons.
Oh.
And I imagine, I think about
why. Do you remember the singing frog?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And here's another one.
Hey, yeah, so there must be a lot in the Warner Brothers archive there, mm-hmm. that I was thinking now with that acquisition. Is that all going to be released? Are they going to put that on a platform? Is everyone going to see it? There's probably a lot there which they don't want people to see.
That's right.
Just remember the good things.
They're more judicious in the stuff that they'll share out.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how much that continues on Disney Plus, because there's plenty of other old films that might have a problematic scene or two that they could easily excise. And unless someone's then going back and watching their VHS copies, no one's going to know.
Hmm.
You know, you think a generation from now, no one will know. The only people that know about Song of the South are people like me who are interested in this shit and have gone to find out more about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So people getting upset about content being gone probably won't realise that stuff is gone.
They never would have watched in the first place.
Yeah.
Strong enough to lift both Thor and Grandthar's hammer for double avenging. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I saw some trailers.
Go on, let's go. Get into them. I want to get hyped about stuff.
Some stuff will get you a bit hyped. Some stuff, we'll kick off with some good. So there was a new trailer, or final trailer came out for Godzilla King of the Monsters, which is coming out May 31st. It looks epic.
So soon. Mm.
It used a weirdly haunting cover of Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which I did not think was appropriate at all.
Why was it creepy, or just you're like, why are you using this?
Both. It was creepy, but it's more like...
another cover.
This isn't Oz. It's Godzilla, but it's, you can't even make Oz out of the, like...
I don't know anything about this film. Who's attached to it? Who's in it?
So it's a direct sequel to Godzilla that came out a few years ago.
Right.
It also will use story elements from Kong Skull Island.
Hmm.
This is considered Godzilla 2, and then next year we're getting Godzilla vs. Kong. So this is Legendary trying to do their own shared universe.
Godzilla versus Kong.
I'm so there for it.
It's happened 100%. Before though, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
I think.
I'm sure it has.
Like, you don't even ages know. Ago, that's how confused.
Yeah.
Yes, in the past there have been Kong versus Godzilla films. Millie, what's her name from Stranger Things?
Millie Bobby Brown.
She's one of the lead characters in this. She seems to have some sort of emotional connection with Godzilla. We're also getting Mothra and Rodan and King...
Look, that last Godzilla was not a... It was not a terrible movie.
No, not at all. I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah. And I don't want to go into spoilers, but I thought it was good.
This one, basically, it looks like about 17 different monsters start ripping up the Earth. They don't know what to do, and...
they get 11 from Stranger Things.
Well, the old Asian...
She would solve it.
The old Asian guy from the first Godzilla movie is like, make them fight.
It's a good voice.
Thank you. That's his voice. I think it might be Ken Watanabe. I don't know. But like you said that trailer, make them fight. I've been playing Mortal Kombat 11.
I was going to say, it sounds like a Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat thing.
Get over here. so look, I'm on board with that. Stay tuned. Mm. 6 weeks or whatever, we'll have a review for that.
Amazing.
Big, good fun.
That'd be awesome.
I was also very excited to see there was a new trailer for Hobbs and Shaw.
Nice.
Which is the Fast and the Furious spin-off with Statham and The Rock.
I mean, this is already just printing money.
Oh, yeah. Especially when Idris Elba is like, look at me, I'm Black Superman. And then The Rock, 30 seconds later in the trailer, is like, shit, this guy is Black Superman. Yeah. All right.
Now, you love Fast and the Furious, Tom. Oh, so I know you do.
So much. And the idea of a spin-off that doesn't have to adhere to and you know, it can go more balls to the wall insanity. Like, there's a shot where The Rock's hanging on the back of a ute and he throws a harpoon onto a helicopter. And then the helicopter starts lifting the car off. So someone drives up with another ute in front and like throws two spiked chains onto the ute. And then it becomes a convoy being dragged into the air by this helicopter over a cliff. I'm there.
You know what it reminds me of? Like a triple X kind of ridiculous shenanigans. Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, having fun at this point, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just have fun. That's what people want.
They announced the start date for The Boys, which is a TV show coming up. And I've slipped my mind whether it's Amazon Prime or Prime or where. But it is a direct answer to the superhero craze that has been happening over the last few years. It's a comic book story that took place over the last 10 years and stuff. And basically a team of anti-superhero guys are put together by the CIA as a black books team to deal with superheroes when they overstep the line. So they are there to... You know, there's a team that's clearly meant to be the Justice League.
What universe is this? A new universe?
It completely, they're their own thing.
Nice. Which is good. They can have fun with it.
Oh, yeah, and they kill people constantly.
They can make rules.
The Justice League team are the main bad guys for the series.
Hmm.
And, you know, Superman is a racist caricature. He's called the Homelander. And he rules the rest of them with an iron fist. They murder. They rape. They do whatever they want because who the fuck can stop them? So this team gets put together. Carl Urban is their leader.
Oh, wow.
Doing a very good Michael Caine impression. Simon Pegg is involved.
Yep.
And, yeah, this team gets put together to essentially go fuck with them. And that's their motto, fuck heroes.
So this, I mean, we've spoken about this before. Mm-hmm. So when is this?
July 26th.
Nice.
Very interesting timing, 4 days after Comic-Con. So it means they're going to have their premiere at Comic-Con and get everyone amped, get the buzz rolling.
They're obviously confident.
Well, I got to see part of the footage at New York Comic-Con last September.
Mm.
So they've been sitting on it for a while.
Mm.
It's executive produced and maybe directed by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, the guys who did Preacher.
Mm.
And obviously many, many films.
And Seth Rogen stuff.
And I believe the writers of Sausage Party are involved in the script. So it should give you an idea. Like,
it's
going to
be pretty
funny.
Good.
I can feel the tone.
So I can't remember if it's 8 or 10 episodes, but they're already very confident about a second season. It is going to be horrifically violent. Some of the stuff that happens in this comic disturbed me.
Mm.
So the guy that's meant to be Batman... He has to send Robin away because he has this compulsion to start fucking small objects.
What?
Yep. And he has this – basically he goes off to save the world because there's an asteroid coming to Earth and looking through the Hubble telescope, they discovered there's a small orifice on it.
Oh,
so Batman
no.
flies himself up into space and fucks this comet to explodes. Then it turns out actually that this guy has been having an aneurysm and – he's imagined all this and
he's a superhero in his own mind.
Well, no, he was this Batman guy, but he started having an aneurysm and he pictures himself saving the world and instead he just gets hit by a brick and drowns in the river.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah, and he had a threesome with Catwoman and Robin. And anyway,
this
that was
fun.
Two issues of what ended up being like 90 issues. So that's one tiny sliver of what it could be and gives you a taste of what it could be. From the file of, well, we've got two bad movies. One of them bad good. One of them looks just bad. Which would you prefer first? Good bad or bad?
I reckon good bad.
Yeah, good bad.
Let's end with the bad.
Yeah. All right. There's a film coming out which you don't need to know anything more than the title. It's called Velocipasta. It's about a pastor, as in like a
man
holy
of
man,
God,
a man of the cloth, who gets scratched by a werewolf type thing that's actually a velociraptor. And so he starts turning into a velociraptor, hence Velocipasta.
That is ridiculous in every way, shape or form.
It looks very cheap, as in the person in a dinosaur suit is in one of those plastic blow-up ones that you see videos of people doing gymnastics dressed as a T-Rex.
That cheap.
It's that cheap. And it's a velociraptor wearing a collary fighting ninjas.
Was this the bad good one or the bad one?
That's the bad good one.
Okay, good.
The bad one is one, look, I could be wrong. It could come good. I will end up having to see this. Playmobil the movie. Remember Playmobil, that the Lego-like one that no one wanted unless you were European?
Oh, my.
They're doing a movie.
Oh, my.
The movie.
Uh-huh. Real kids get sucked into a Playmobil world because... Of course they do.
There's an interesting visual element that they could play with there. If visually, they could make it look very interesting.
If the Lego movie wasn't such a big meta success, I'd say this has got strong legs. But how this works in a world where Lego has already dominated that
style? Where it's already a thing. Like, do they make a song that goes, lots of things are pretty good?
You know, I don't see anything other than just dancing in someone else's footsteps. Mm.
And will it be called Playmobil?
It's called Playmobil the Movie.
It's almost something that back in the day would have just gone straight to video or DVD. So is it just going to go straight to streaming?
Netflix.
No, yeah.
It's a kids' movie for school holidays. So I get its purpose. I'm just angry that I'm going to have to see this shit.
Yep.
They're going to have to spend some money selling what Playmobil is or was.
To Australia, yes. But in Europe, no. Europe, this has potential to be a huge film. US Playmobil is quite prevalent, but it's nothing like it. Like Europe, it is huge.
Mm.
You go in any toy store and there's a Playmobil shelf section. So it's knowing their audience. It's probably going to be French as fuck or something. Ooh la la.
I look forward to you watching it and me not having have to watch it and you can tell me about it after.
Mm-hmm. That's enough trailers.
All right.
You've eaten enough.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Let's get into some stuff we've been watching then. Who wants to go first?
You! I nominate you.
All right. So I sat down and watched probably the first three episodes of Chris Lilley's new show, Lunatics, which is on Netflix. So he's gone to lots of different places to do his shows about different characters.
Are they any different to his old characters?
So every character is a new character.
But I'm not asking if they're new. I'm saying, has he put in any effort to try and distinguish from all the other stuff?
It's more Chris Lilley doing characters. Even I know the music isn't the same, but it's got the same feeling as maybe Summer Heights High, something like that. But look, I feel like he's gone away for a while.
Mm.
And if you kind of think, I wouldn't mind sitting down and watching something that's Australian that'll give me a chuckle.
Watch The Castle again.
Yeah, okay. Why? Because
Stephen
Curry's in it. Well, yeah, and he was super huge, so I can understand why some people would be completely over him. I watched it and went, oh, yeah.
He was always like that for me, and oh, yeah. I remember, Tom, you and I having to work. I think you were involved where we had to write a script for him for a very large brand in Australia that we were working with, and it didn't really come off.
No.
I thought I saw an interview recently with him where he was talking about this, and I didn't realize he had a new show coming out, but obviously it was linked to it, where he was saying how the Summer Heights High characters, he just wanted to distance himself and it wasn't him anymore. And it was a turning point. I find it surprising to find that he hasn't shifted too far from that model.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a 12-year-old boy, and there's a girl who's just gone into college. They went over to the US to be in college, these twin sisters, and he plays one of them. And yeah, reminds me of
other
characters.
I do like that Netflix is supporting.
Oh, yeah,
potentially
for
sure. Was it an Australian production? It was a Netflix production, obviously, but it's maybe supporting an Australian concept. I think that's good.
Yeah.
If it's watchable.
It's watchable. It's fine. If you liked Chris Lilley's stuff, you're going to enjoy it, and then you'll watch it, and then you'll move on to something else.
See, my parents loved Chris Lilley.
Well, then
more so than
enjoy
I did.
It.
So this could be an opportunity for them to subscribe to Netflix.
Yes.
Nice one, Raina. What have you been watching?
Well, I haven't been watching much, but what I have been watching is, apart from the things that we can't spoil, is the second season of American Gods.
All right. Now, look, spoil away a little bit on this one because I'm yet to catch up. This hasn't been on iTunes. It's not easy to find.
It's Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Amazon Prime is interesting for me as a platform because I'm only on there because I wanted free shipping.
And have you got a VPN?
All right.
Is that no.
Or you've just got the local Australian service for it? Okay, cool.
Look, I love the book. I thought it was fantastic.
Me too. Yep.
I thought the cast is incredible. The first season for me was incredible. I hadn't seen something like that in a while. The way it was shot, it was gritty. Mm-hmm. The second season is watchable, and I think the cast is just as strong. In fact, I think there's some performances in there that are absolutely incredible, and I don't want to spoil too much. But the show you can sort of feel where these problems have come in, which I think you, Tom, know a little bit more about the problems than me. But you can feel it's coming a little unstuck. I think we're at episode 7 mm-hmm. or 6 now. I think it's only an 8 part. So it feels like they're going to – it feels almost to the T that they were having difficulties all the way through as this was being shot. And then right at the end. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're going to carry on because I think they're bringing the showrunner or different showrunners back for
different
the third
showrunners
season.
That confirmed for season three.
It's still, look, I absolutely recommend watching this show. I still think it's a fantastic show. And there are some performances in there which are incredible. I think they're all fantastic. And to see Alice Waringen in that role is also fantastic as well. But it's definitely lost a shine in that second season. And it's a drag. I think it's a bit of a drag in certain scenes. You've got to pay attention. This isn't a show that you can be flicking on your phone at the same time. The dialogue is thick and rich. There's a lot of monologues, which I think put a lot of people off in the first season. There's even more in the second season. But the narrative is a little bit different in the second season. You don't have these flashbacks to the history of the gods. This is just pure storyline as you go.
Does that mean a lot less Anansi, Mr. Anansi?
No, he's there.
He's gotten more involved?
He's good. There. I don't want to give away too much. But yeah, it is the story of, I guess, these two different factions of gods, the new gods and the old gods. Yeah, building their armies or building their powers together and going out and recruiting and getting weapons and doing sorts of things. And,
nice.
To eventually face off in the finale, which should be coming. But you can see where there are problems with it. And Tom, you might want to jump in quickly because you know more about the show.
Is there a Gillian Anderson-sized hole?
Look, that I think was a controversial moment, but I think they did quite well with it. I think the rage and the online rage was a bit...
Well, look, it all stemmed
ridiculous.
From Brian Fuller, who was the showrunner on the first season.
Mm.
He left and she went with him. She was like, I'm not being involved with this show without his involvement. Because he did, Pushing Daisies. He's done a lot of shows that are really beloved, have a very, very distinct visual style. He has a specific visual palette. And if you've ever seen Pushing Daisies, then the last episode of season one of American Gods, where they were with Easter, and it was all day glow, bright and happy, that's his aesthetic. And so I can understand people not wanting to be involved with the show. I can really understand the show having a different look and feel with him gone because he's such a singular creative vision. The shows that he does have a style. And then when he left, took them 2 years to make season two.
Mm.
And during that period, the showrunner, like the second showrunner, they got fired before they made it to the final episode.
Mm.
So they had to do a lot of behind the scenes jiggering just to get the damn thing finished.
It feels like that.
Yeah.
It feels like, yeah, editing is an issue. I think pacing is a bit of an issue. But it's still fantastically shot. The cinematography is incredible. The performances are very good. There's one character in particular who's very good throughout.
Mad Sweeney?
Mad Sweeney is good. I think he plays a bit of a lesser role, but he's always fantastic. Like, he has screen presence as soon as
I only ask
comes on.
Because that guy, Pablo Shriver, he's been booked in Halo TV series. He's playing
right.
Master
really?
Chief. Yes.
Huh? What?
Yeah, he's playing Master Chief.
Oh, man. That's fantastic.
Sorry, I thought we'd talked about it. Anyway, that's why I asked how much his involvement has been because this news has just come out.
Yeah. Look, it's still a watch. If you like the first season, you absolutely need to watch the second season. I wouldn't discourage it.
And
by
if
any
there's
sense.
A third season that sounds like it might have some, at least less hiccups, it might be a smoother production run for them, get through the second one so that you can enjoy the third.
I don't know whether season three has been confirmed. I think... As Amazon do, I think they will give it a third season. They have the money to do it. But it will be interesting to see what Amazon start doing with these shows, whether they start going chopping them or not.
Look,
like Netflix does.
Like Netflix. Yeah.
The real reason I think that they're so keen for season three and pushing that forward is because they've got Good Omens starting soon, which is the other Neil Gaiman show. And that's going to be huge.
Yeah.
Tennant, Michael Sheen, John Hamm, so many good people involved with that. Looks really funny. They want to be in the Neil Gaiman game.
Yeah. They'll finish it.
He's got other stories they can use.
Yeah.
Yeah, that are different. I can imagine them giving Stardust a TV go.
And you think if Good Omens does well, maybe Terry Pratchett's estate will relax the rules a little bit. And I think that's the real potential goldmine in this situation. Anyway, that's just me looking at tea leaves.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that little theory.
And they would have gotten away with it too, if it wasn't for you meddling kids. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Now, just really quickly.
Yeah.
Do you remember our mate Abe?
Yeah.
We haven't had for ages.
Yeah.
He suggested to me that I check out Black Summer, which is a zombie show on Netflix.
Oh, yes. I saw ads for that and I had thought about watching it, but I just didn't.
I watched few of them.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Not bad?
The zombies are different than... The Walking Dead, they're more sort of, they're almost World War Z ones.
Okay, so a bit of rage.
Yeah, they're rage. But I did have a bit of a problem with, maybe it was the fourth episode. I felt like the the setting that they had was probably a few years into a zombie apocalypse and not like 6 or 7 weeks.
Sure.
But
everyone's a bit too experienced at killing Zeds.
And you know how in The Walking Dead people go crazy? Mm. These people went crazy fast, obviously. But look, it's worth a watch, particularly if you're still into zombie genre.
Yeah, if you've got a Walking Dead style hole in your heart right now, there you go.
Give it a burl, Merle.
Yeah, I think there is still a niche for zombie. There always will be.
Absolutely.
It's gone for me. I think I'm zombied out. I am a zombie from the zombies. But there's still a niche there. I've heard nothing but good things. But
yeah.
I heard similar feedback, which is it feels unusual. There's around the setting and the time and inconsistencies, I guess, in the way that they're interacting with these Zeds.
Now, is this one that's technically in the universe of, what's that other zombie show that was around for years? The one with DJ Qualls in it, the skinny guy from Road Trip.
Oh, man, I never saw that. I have no idea if it is or not. It's early days. Like I said, it's about
Z-Nation.
6 weeks.
Z Nation.
I
believe Black
really?
Summer might tie into the Z Nation universe.
Okay.
So that might explain some of the timeline shenanigans.
That would make, okay. Well, I'll cut it some slack then.
I could be talking shit out of my ass. I have been known to do it, but maybe not.
What have you been watching, Tom?
I watched a few things. Some of them we won't need to go into too much.
Okay.
I'm not going to too much. In fact, I'm only going to talk about two. And one was a show that was really good, but not for me.
Mm-hmm.
Might be for you. That was called The New Negroes. It's with Baron Vaughn and Open Mike Eagle. Baron Vaughn is a very funny comedian who's been around for 15, 20 years. And most recently he's been, he was on Corporate. You know that show, I Love Corporate? He plays the head of IT. Open Mike Eagle is a slam poet. Rapper, very much hangs out with your Thundercats, your Childish Gambinos, that sort of modern style. But he's a really good storyteller and very, very surrealist in his words and stuff like
is
that.
Is he funny or...?
He can be. He does have some songs that are very funny and humor's laced in there, but a lot of it's very still avant-garde humor, awkward stuff. So they've got this TV show together. I feel that... I saw it listed as The New Negroes and I was like, that's a bold name. And the first 5 or 10 minutes of the show is just them talking about how bold a name that is and like various African-American celebrities popping up going, you know, you should rethink that name. That's not going to help you do that. They had a bunch of stand-ups. That stuff was fine. There were jokes about racism and class culture and all this sort of stuff. And I could appreciate and laugh at the jokes, but it's not made for me. It's made for an audience that can laugh at Negro being used in that setting and things like that.
Do you also think it's a little more made for the US?
Very much so. It is US centric.
Mm.
But the stand-up stuff was fine. And then the last 3 minutes, and if they do this every week, this is the potential to go very viral, is where Open Mike Eagle does a music video with someone else. And he did one with a guy named Denny Brown, who is a really weird rapper. And it's Open Mike Eagle, he's sitting in a cubicle doing this work, and he's rapping about stuff and getting shit from his boss. And then he like grabs the top of his head and pulls it back like he's wearing a skin suit, and Denny Brown pops out and starts rapping what he's really thinking inside. It's very weird and not where I was expecting to go. And that's why I wanted to talk about this show, is because the stand-up stuff in the great in the middle was fine. It was good. But this music video at the end made me go, what the
And they do that each episode.
I don't know. I hope so. But it seems to be that the deal is that there's Yuck Yuck's funny and then Open Mike Eagle gets to do a music video at the end.
Yeah, right.
It's a good way to sell it.
Very, very good way.
Because it does sound like the sort of show that, because it's got stand-up, so it's going to be different every time, it still needs to have a structure so that the audience knows
that's right.
what they're getting into. So to have that sort of ending each week makes sense.
Yeah, it feels like it's going to aim to be a bit more of a variety show rather than just a straight stand-up show. But that was cool. The other things I've been watching, I watched a lot of Animal Cribs. I know I've talked about it before, but it's about a guy who runs he's a home decorator, but he does a lot of stuff specifically for animals and pets. And there's been some great episodes. There was one guy who's a firefighter, and over the last 30 years, he's rescued 4 large constrictors of various types.
Yeah, right.
And they all live in the basement of his house. He's got a little area for them down there, and they converted his backyard to be a lagoon. And he has to carry. He and his 2 sons have to carry this, like, I think they said it was 21 feet long boa constrictor.
That's a
big snake.
Yeah.
It was huge. And like they carry it up and put it out in the lagoon, and they've had to put in all this fencing in the top of their backyard so it can't get out and all this sort of stuff for neighbours. But these guys come in and converted a few of their downstairs rooms into like one of them is a room just for the snakes to live in, fake rocks, fake trees and stuff like that. And then they smashed a hole in the wall to the next room and turned that into like a giant bath. So this with a waterfall going and stuff like that. It was really cool. I want that in my house.
The snakes too, or just the bath?
The snakes I consider. There's one woman that was really, really close with these mini horses, pygmy horses, whatever you call them. Not Shetlands, but mini horses that she had rescued. And she had a small backyard, so at night they slept in her room.
Oh, no way.
And instead, this guy came and built like a small barn that attached to her bedroom with the Dutch doors and stuff. So the horses could come in at night and have their own sleep quarters, but she could open the Dutch doors and still be in a shared
That's
area
cute.
With them. It's super just, cute. It's really nice.
Makes you feel happy.
Any aquariums?
Not fish? Really. He doesn't mess with the fish too much.
It's been done elsewhere.
It's been done elsewhere. And he's more about furry friends.
Right.
He's very big on dogs. He does a lot of dog parks, dog and stuff. But almost every episode, instead of being like, here's a really rich person that's got all these exotic pets, it's here's someone who works in a capacity where they have a chance to rescue animals. So
right.
these animals nice. Have been saved.
Yeah.
And he comes in and gives them a better life.
Nice.
It's nice. It's a little bit warm, feel
so
good.
So feel nice good. Yeah. Yeah.
He's cheesy as hell. You know, he's mid-40s, maybe early-50s. Dude making a lot of puns.
Yeah.
This is your kind of show.
It's my kind
it
of
really
show.
It really is.
Well, since Tank got cancelled, I've yes. needed something else.
Yeah, you've need something to fall
so,
back on.
Yeah, Animal Cribs, thank you for the emotional support. Animal, you've been this week of dealing with Game of Thrones and Avengers.
Making more sense than when Joey and Rachel hooked up. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Oh, it's been a big week for us. Now, instead of doing a quiz, I
what,
thought...
Instead of doing a quiz?
I know. We'd touch some... No, I'm going to reword that.
Touch Aria. What?
We're going to have a go at answering some listener questions.
Oh, it's been a while. Thank you. Thank you, Raven senders.
Yeah, all of these have been sent by Ravens. Definitely not to the Watchers podcast at gmail.com. First one, ready to go. This is from Leo.
Leo!
Hi, Watchers. I'm preparing myself for a huge gaping void in my viewing life when Game of Thrones ends. What are you doing to prepare? Oh, I'm not. That's the problem. I haven't prepared. I know it's going to happen. Actually, no, I kind of have, actually, because I've still got the prequel book to read about the
dunk?
Targaryens.
Oh.
No. The Fire and Blood or sure. Blood and Fire, whatever it's called.
Yeah,
so
you
still got
Dunk and Egg. You haven't done Dunk and Egg yet, have you?
No.
Yeah, there's plenty more.
All right, I'll still be happy. What about you, Raina?
I did find this week's John Oliver episode interesting when he made the joke about Game of Thrones and made the joke about it finishing and then looked directly at the camera and said, this network is finished. It's finished.
Westworld? Yeah, and shut up, John Oliver, you're wrong. HBO is killing it at the moment. They've got so much great comedy content that they're working on, half-hour comedies that, you know, HBO used to make tons of great comedies and stuff, and then there was a bit of a lull for a while there. They've got Curb Your Enthusiasm coming back.
They do. So we've got 6 weeks here, right? 6 weeks till the end of Game of Thrones.
Well, No. Four.
Yeah.
4 weeks because there's only six episodes.
Yeah.
So we have 4 weeks. We have a month.
There's a bit of reality for you.
I think everyone is going to be trying to jump. Oh, we have this. We have a great show here ready to go. I actually don't know the release schedule for the TV shows that are coming up. Tom, I'm looking at you because this is normally your forte to know what's coming up.
Well, June I know that we've got Stranger Things coming out soon. We've
That's
got Handmaid's Tale coming out very soon. There's a few different programs that are on their second or third season. Actually, both of those are on their third seasons.
Yeah. We have Better Call Saul that's coming. That's the last season, isn't it?
Considering our winter is when premium content will drop.
Mm.
We'll get a lot of the classy HBOs because it's outside ratings periods, so they can easily steal from the big networks.
Big Little Lies 2.
Yep. There's some big stuff
coming. But at the same time, it's not Game of Thrones.
It's not, but I think, yeah.
I will say, over the next 2 to 3 years, you will see imitators pop up. Mm-hmm. The same thing happened when Lost finished. Every network was desperate to have the next Lost.
Yeah.
There's not a next Lost. That was a show of its time. It was event viewing. That doesn't exist anymore. It was just at the birth of social media and discussions and forums and sharing information. That doesn't happen anymore. It's just every show.
Yes.
So the idea of something being as special as Game of Thrones won't happen. But there'll be something that comes along that's just as special in a different way.
They'll use that tagline, though. I can see it.
Winter is coming.
No. The next.
Oh, yeah.
Amazon will use it for The Expanse now that they've bought it as well. It'll be Game of Thrones in space. Game of Thrones in Melbourne.
Game of Thrones on a golf course.
On a boat. on a pirate ship.
Game of Bones. Oh, yeah.
No, so I think there's plenty of stuff coming up. I would look out. I think the final season of Better Call Saul is a big one for me. I think that's one I'm eagerly awaiting. I am awaiting the return of The Expanse with a bigger budget. I'm sure I'll come in here to talk about that on Amazon because they'll put a lot of budget behind it. That one's going to be very exciting for me because I'm a big fan of the books and I've enjoyed the first three seasons. Those two in particular, I think, for the rest of the year, the ones I'm looking out for.
Amazing. Okay. Well, Leo, you've got a whole lot of watching to do now. Macy, I don't think this is Macy from Game of Thrones, but Macy says, my nine-year-old daughter, no, it's not Macy from Game of Thrones. She doesn't have a kid, does she? No, she'd be like 20, right? Anyway, Macy said her nine-year-old daughter wants a Captain Marvel-themed birthday party. And she said it reminds me of my favourite party when I was a kid, which was a Power Rangers party.
Mm.
What was your favourite one growing up?
Does it have to be a theme party or just a birthday party?
Just a birthday party.
When I had some good ones.
I had some good ones. Come back to me. Let me finish. I don't want to shit on your parties.
I didn't like themes as a kid. They scared me.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Why?
Well, I think I was very self-conscious and I was worried that when I dressed up, I wouldn't be as good as other people. I think I do remember going as Biggles once to some...
Biggles.
I went as Biggles, yes. I think it was just something that could be achieved at home. Dress-up parties. I definitely went to a Ninja Turtles dress-up party.
Oh, fun.
There's no question. I've been to at least one of those. In my era? No, the Ninja Turtles one stands out. I can't remember what I dressed as, though. I had some sort of Ninja Turtle costume.
Mondo Cool or some deep cut reference character.
Yeah, it wasn't quite as cool for that.
I didn't have necessarily a character theme, but one of the ones that I always remember was a pirate themed one.
Oh, yes.
Because I insisted that everybody there talk like a pirate for the whole entire party. I
mean,
it makes sense,
right? Don't forget your
party, Mark. Yeah. So there's a photograph of me at the pirate party, and in my head, I was going to do, you know, the smirk to one side, maybe do a wink, pretend I've got a parrot on my shirt, all that sort of stuff. But I obviously got far too excited about the whole concept. So it looks like I'm literally about to explode with excitement. Oh. My smile is ridiculously huge. So whenever I see that, I'm like, oh, that's right. My hype level that day was off the charts. No amount of red cordial would have changed it. I was already at maximum. All right, Tom, you said you've got some great ones.
I had monkeys come one year.
What?
Like performing monkeys.
Real monkeys?
Like little capuchins.
Wow.
Little monkeys. And you know, one of them rode a bike. One of them put on a dress and climbed into a bed. All this sort of stuff. It was amazing. And it was a different time. And there were different ownership laws and stuff.
Yeah.
But the guy that owned these monkeys and brought them out, he was nice enough. But in the van, there was a chimpanzee. Now, I don't know if I've talked about chimpanzees in this show, but I've done stuff with the zoos before and things. Chimpanzees are not friendly animals whatsoever. This thing, clearly he couldn't leave it at home because it would try and rip the house apart. But it sat in the van, rocking his van.
Wow.
While we're having this party, all the kids, yeah, and this thing's out.
And the parents are glancing out at the street.
Yep. It was amazing. Everyone talked about these monkeys. Monkeys were cool.
It was legendary.
You don't see animals at birthday parties.
No, you really don't, do you?
You see a petting zoo, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's about the limit.
It got outlawed, and this guy had to, like, relinquish his animals.
If you're out there listening to this podcast, let us know.
Please tell us if you still got your face, because I imagine living with a chimpanzee, there's a pretty good chance you ain't got
your face.
It's
a thing. I know. It's a thing that they do.
They like to dig their fingers into eye sockets. It's a real thing with monkeys. Apes. Oh, boy. I'm going to get some angry.
Please don't go there. Mm. Let's just make life easy.
Mm.
All right. Well,
Thanks, Macy. If you're having a Captain Marvel birthday party, please take a photo and send it because I can tell you now that Shay would love to see that.
Shay might want a Captain Marvel party.
She got a
Captain Marvel shirt.
Who doesn't want a Captain Marvel party? Thought you were going to say me for a second.
Middle-aged white men.
Yeah.
Keyboard warriors.
Yes. Oh my gosh. All right, we're seeing we're on Marvel again, let's go to Lachlan. This will be the final question. What comic book do you wish will be made into a film?
I'm looking at Tom. It's a big question.
It's a huge question.
That
isn't
has
it?
Not currently been made?
I reckon be all right if you wanted it remade, like another crack at it.
I would love to go back to, I'd like to see Spawn done again.
Yes, yeah, Spawn was.
It really?
Jamie Foxx.
Oh, wow. He's
I remember that Spawn. That was.
I mean, I think I had a cousin who had all the Spawn comics, and it was a big part of my childhood reading those along with all the X-Men universe.
Spawn was disappointing.
Yeah, it was. So I've always wanted them to go back there.
That's a good idea.
I tried to rewatch it the other day. It was terrible. It really is bad. But they could do it dark and gritty. I didn't realize there was somebody attached to it, and it's actually happening.
Wait, that was late 90s?
It was late 90s,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
97, that's maybe?
Pretty 98. Old.
Tom, you can't pick, can you?
It is difficult.
You're going to pick something very obscure and it's going to be
this
interesting.
This is the thing. I've got the answer that I give this podcast that everyone can, oh, that would be good, yes. Mm. Or I've got the weird thing where everyone's like, I don't know what he's talking
the
about.
The weird thing.
You know the weird thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Forbush Man.
Oh, okay.
He's a guy with a cosmically powered frying pan that he wears on his head. He's cut some holes out and he has a sheet tied around his neck. But it makes it, he's really powerful.
Like? More powerful than Captain Marvel?
Yeah, like go and fight Galactus powerful.
Huh.
But he's in that universe?
Yeah.
Disney.
And
they can make it happen.
Well, yeah, he's Marvel, and he was generally used a lot in... there was a piss take that Marvel did themselves called Brand Ugh. ECCH. Ugh.
I love it.
And Forbush Man was their main person for Brand Ugh.
That's amazing.
He's pathetic. I don't know.
If they can get the tone right.
Yes.
In this wonderful world that we know. I mean, I never expect them to be able to make Legion into a
it could happen.
And they did. So
The one that's more likely, if we're looking to get to Forbush Man, they would need to do a guy named D-Man. He's a homeless version of Daredevil kind of guy. He had a bit of schizophrenia in the mix there. He was a professional wrestler. And
I feel like I could write a script around both those two.
There you go.
They may not be very good, but I feel like there's a character.
D-Man's amazing. He has Wolverine's look, but not as good, combined with Daredevil's kind of powers, but not blind and can't make money, and hangs out with Captain America a lot for a while there until Captain America forgets him, and then ends up like homeless, destitute, and the other heroes have to go and save him from that life.
There's something there.
There's a lot there. That's where you bring in a real adult topic of dealing with addiction and all sorts of things and the impact it could have on heroism.
Feels like the YouTube Karate Kid series.
Sure.
A little bit there.
Yeah.
With that sort of backstory, side story. Where are they at now? Drunk.
Really anyway, struggling.
Sorry, I could keep going on with this.
I know
this
you could.
Oh, look, just to be different, I was trying to think outside the usual square. And what about Mr. Alfred E. Newman?
From Mad Magazine.
Yeah, what about something from Mad Magazine? They had so many is that still a thing?
It is.
Okay,
good. It is. My dad got me a subscription for my birthday.
That's fun.
Because I like doing them fold-outs.
Yeah, the fold-outs are good. But, do they still have a lot of those sort of continuation? I don't want a Spy versus Spy, but, you know, one of those sort of...
There's bits of comic books. Sergio's still drawing in the borders.
Yeah. There'd be something in a Mad magazine that they could do.
And you can see bits and pieces already. You know, bad reviews. Alfred E. Newman says, what? Me worry. You know?
Yeah, they could bring it to life. I can see a series. I could see an online series.
Yeah,
shorts,
online would be
15
nice.
Minutes,
yeah, I think
minutes.
Shorts would be a really good way to do it. Or
surprised they haven't done that already.
Or you go the old Monty Python route of just having it as a selection of skits.
And
that would probably work better. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we've solved all of those problems. And we've solved the problem of not having a podcast for this week. We've done it.
Huzzah.
Enjoy
your content.
We've made three this week. We'll be back next week for Game of Thrones episode 3 and also our weekly We Are the Watchers episode, which is what we are listening to now, or you're listening to, I should say. We're never listening to this ever again. Tom, thank you very much.
Chicken.
Raina.
See you soon.